From my private website, The Moon Series, Never Finished, released on YouTube August of 2018, and deleted from YouTube in October of 2018. Posted on my private website in October of 2018.
Part 26, The Moon and How I Know I Am 100% Correct on the Flat Earth. The Greatest Problem Ever Solved. On February 2nd, 2018, I, Brian Austin Lambert, solved the greatest riddle of all, the moon. With the final piece of the puzzle solved, it verified the model. With no doubt at all, I knew I had the 100% correct working model of everything. For 6 months, I was the only person to know how it all worked, and it was an exhilarating feeling. It took me 3 years to track the moon and to follow her path, speed, and phases to finally understand what she is. She was stubborn and a feisty mistress who resisted giving up her secrets, but I prevailed. So now you will all know her secrets also. The moon we see in our blue sky is just light. However, the source of what the light is projecting in our sky is solid and made of matter. Absolute proofs of the moon. 1. We always see the same face or side. 2. We have never seen the dark side of the moon, and no one ever will. 3. The moon has phases that are illuminated from another source. 4. There are shadows made on the contours of the surface of the moon from this outside light source. 5. The moon is not flat, nor is it a sphere. 6. It is not spinning or rotating. So what is the moon then? It is a dome. Exactly the same structure as our Earth, but just smaller. Yes, people, it is a dome. But to be even more specific, the part you see is the ice dome. Go back and watch parts 14 through 19 again. You are looking from the outside looking in to that world's ice dome. There is no fine dust, sand, or ground to land on like NASA claims they have done. That world is enclosed by an electromagnetic field and ice dome that is as impenetrable for us to enter as it is for their inhabitants to escape. So I know with 100% certainty that my model is correct, because every time I look up in the sky and see the moon, she reaffirms my model and tells me I am 100% correct, and that is why I have supreme confidence in my model, because the moon shows me. Part 26 will be devoted completely to the moon and everything about her. I have no idea how many lettered parts there will be, but I will not move on to another subject until the moon is completely finished. To see the big picture of everything, you have to understand her, and then everything else falls neatly into place. Part 26A, The Real Structure of the Moon and Everything Else on the Flat Earth. Life. Living. Biological. Everything is life. Living or deceased. What you live on, the flat plane, is living. You live in a biological entity. Life is everywhere that you can see, from the smallest insects up into the largest sequoia redwood trees and elephants and blue whales. But it doesn't stop there. The base structure of everything goes from the smallest to the largest that you can see, and even way beyond what you can even imagine. From atoms to molecules to cells in your blood to the moon to the earth and everything that's beyond that, it's all the same structure. Wrong. This is your world. This is where you live. This is where your flat plane resides. Inside of an entity and inside of its brain. You live on a neuron. The flat plane dome that you live in and on is a neuron inside of a brain. When the light changes directions in the red sky, you will see what they depicted as a Vajra, which is the neuron that our world is connected to. If still by this point you have not watched the primer fields, boy, you do not want to know the truth. Go learn the primer fields backwards and forwards to understand the structure. The purple ring down at the bottom is the choke ring. Between the choke ring and the flip ring is where all matter is created. And that is what you are standing on. This is the real structure of atoms. This is the real structure of cells. This is the real structure of DNA. This is the real structure of the Earth. And this is the real structure of the moon. Now do you see it in the Vajra? There's four domes in this Vajra, or this neuron. All pointing out, but all that fancy stuff is the plasma and the EM dome that they saw in the red sky. Do you see the flip ring and the choke ring on each one of those four sections? That is the structure. The central part where there's the spiral, what they used to call the Wheel of Fortune, is the spiraling plasma tube of light. So our dome is the confinement dome. Our Earth, the ground that we stand on, is the point between the flip ring and the choke ring, where matter is created. And the moon has the same structure. You're looking at top down at their confinement dome, and underneath their dome, they have a flip ring and choke ring also. And there is matter there. Part 26b, the craters of the moon on the flat Earth. Meteorites from outer space. Wrong. Asteroids from outer space. Wrong. Comets from outer space. Wrong. Impact craters from things hitting it. Wrong. Huge impact craters from things hitting it. Wrong. Mara form from things doing whatever they say they're doing. Wrong.
In this segment, we'll be using high-speed footage, which I've uploaded and we do on screen capture because it doesn't record audio. And here we have an iron electrode, a single iron electrode over the same iron plate we've been using before. It's a little different medium. This medium is a mixture of flour and aluminum at about 100 to 1. The source of power we'll be using for this experiment is a 19 million volt handheld taser, which produces a substantial spark or bolt of energy, which we will see when I turn the video on, that creates an etching digging process that certainly could be responsible for a lot of the craters that we think are impact craters, and this could have some implications with volcanic activity as well. As we've seen in previous videos, you don't necessarily have to have the plasma light in order to evacuate material.
Everybody say it with me now. Plasma. Everything in a living organism is electromagnetic. Everything. There are 4 types of craters on the moon. I will only cover 3 types right now. 1, smaller craters form from electromagnetic plasma arcing. 2, larger volcano-like structures, i.e. Tycho and Copernicus craters. And the 3rd type, Mara, the gigantic darker circular formations. For the remainder of this video, I will only be focusing on the smaller craters that are formed from electromagnetic / plasma arcing. The volcano-like craters and the Mara craters will be in the next 2 videos in order. And the reason why I'm doing that is because they are formed from different processes than electromagnetic discharge. They are different. All 3 are formed from different type of events. These smaller circular craters are formed not from impacts, but from electrical plasma arcing. So this is it. This is how it works for the small craters. Electrical discharge, plasma arcing, creates craters. Craters that you see, the small craters that you see on the moon. Again, everybody go to Mr. Too Tough 2 channel. The description will be in the link. He has incredible, incredible work. And then here's the end result of what it looks like on the ice dome of the moon. Simplicity. I know I haven't said it in a while. Simplicity. Part 26C, the volcano-like craters of the moon on the flat Earth. You remember this one? Pressure release. Pressure release.
The red and blue arrows shown here indicate magnetic orientation and the direction of the flow of matter in and around the magnetic bowl. The red arrows indicate magnetic north, and the blue arrows indicate magnetic south. Here we see a magnetic sphere being used to reveal the shape of the confinement dome. Here we see a string of magnets being used to show the magnetic field lines in and around the magnetic bowl. Here we see an example of the ejection forces that exist within the magnetic bowls. Then we see that this ejection force can be extremely strong. So just as we see in the plasma experiments in the vacuum chamber, we see that these ejection jets start at the top of the confinement dome and shoot out of the bowl in line with the axis of the bowl.
So remember what the moon is. It's just a confinement dome. And you're looking from the top down, looking at it directly straight down on top of the confinement dome. So here is the largest of the volcano-like craters, the Tycho crater. And we're going to focus in on this so you can see the debris field around the structure. And this is a pressure release point on their ice dome. So when the pressure release happens, matter and material and gases get released through that pressure release point, and some of it will deposit back down on the surface of the outer surface of the ice dome. The blue arrows indicate where the majority of the ejecta lands, and the red arrows are from the furthest extent of that ejecta. Here is the history of the pressure release ejections that have happened on the confinement dome or the ice dome of the moon. Here are seven major ones that can be clearly seen from any picture of the moon. Some are larger, some are smaller, and that's what I've been trying to say throughout the series with these events. They're not all the same. It depends on the pressure and the changeover, and that determines the size of these pressure releases. So for all you real thinkers out there who just watched the clip David LaPont saying that it happens on the central axis at the top of the confinement dome, you'll say to yourself, well, how come it's not there, Brian? How come these are scattered all over the place? How can it be the history of these pressure releases if it's not at the central point of the dome? It's because the expansion part of this whole model. It expands, and that's why they're scattered and they're moving away from that central axis point. So the expansion I will get into in greater detail in the next video, 26D, when I talk about the Mara and how the Mara is formed. But the quick and easy answer to the expansion is simple, because it's life. Everything is life, and all life grows. Through the growth process, there is an expansion process, and that's why these domes, these confinement domes, the areas between the flip ring and the choke ring, expand, and grow, because it is all life. And when you understand that everything is life, living or deceased, then you'll be able to see the big picture a lot easier. So that's where the expansion comes from. It's just life growing. The cell that you are on, the neuron that you're on, is growing. And that growth has consequences to the things that are already there. Okay, now back to the volcano-like pressure release craters. Now, don't get confused between these pressure release volcano-like structures and volcanoes that we know down here. Volcanoes we know down here are ejecting predominantly matter. So it's ejecting matter that's been, the pressure's been built up in between the flip ring and the choke ring. And that's what the volcanoes are releasing the pressure of there. Completely different than the one at the top of our dome when it releases, or the one at the top of the moon's dome. So the material that's primarily released at the top of our dome and being released at the top of the moon's confinement dome is predominantly water, because the water is above. There are gases that escape during this through the atmosphere, and there is matter that comes up through a vortex that's created. Sucks up loose things that are on the surface, will get drawn up, but predominantly this is a water geyser type pressure release. And that's why when you look at this and you look at the Tycho crater, that's predominantly water refrozen. So now we get back to the rapture, right? The rapture is a twofold event. The first part of the rapture is the EM field reversal, so there's nothing keeping you down on the ground. The second part is a vortex created and a suction up to the top part of our dome to let ejecta go through that dome in the pressure release. So obviously, one would not want to get caught up in a spiraling vortex and getting taken out of our dome through a pressure release. It's not good, and you don't want any part of that. So that's what the rapture is. So you start floating because the EM field goes down, and then you get sucked up because of the pressure release that's happening at the top of our dome. Part 26D, the Mara craters of the moon on the flat Earth. But before we go there, I want to address a comment that I received from a sub who's been doing their homework, and it is great to see. From Bass Musso. Hello, Brian. Was wondering if you ever heard of the Colbran Bible. I stumbled upon a video, The Arrival of the Crossing of the Destroyer, R. Wayne Steiger, which was talking about the Colbran Bible in regard to the destroyer. What spun me out was the description in the text tell clearly of a plasma event, i.e., quote, then the flames shoot up through the surface and leap about like fiery fiends upon black blood. The doom shape is like a circling ball of flame, which scatters small fiery offspring in its train. It covers about a fifth part of the sky and sends writhing snake-like fingers down to earth, end quote. It tells of the condition of the event. Very interesting. We'll be researching this text further. Everybody say it with me. Plasma. So the blue part is what that author was describing as the writhing snake. The offspring that shoots off of that is the pink purplish part. And there's finger-like appendages that are attached because it's trying to find something to ground to. And that's also when they refer to the right hand of God, because these are local things that people see, so you don't see the whole plasma structure. So here is my response. Yes, I know of it. Never read it. Don't need to. All the ancient texts describe the same thing. Plasma. Thanks for the comment, and I'm glad you're seeing the truth, Brian. Okay, now back to the topic at hand. The Mara craters of the moon. Words have meanings for a reason. What is in the name? These are all the same word derivatives of the word Mary. Mary, Maria, Mare, or Mara, how I pronounce it. Little shout out to somebody I used to know. Mara. Any of the several large dark planes on the moon and Mars, Galileo believed that the lunar features were seas when he first saw them through a telescope. So the word origin of Mara, mid-19th century, special use of Latin, Mara, sea. These areas were once thought to be seas. The lunar Maria, Mare, they were dubbed Maria, Latin for seas, by early astronomers who mistook them for actual seas. The traditional nomenclature for the moon also includes one oceanus, ocean, as well as features with the names Lacus, Lake, Pallas, Marsh, and Sinus, Bay. The last three are smaller than Maria, but have the same nature and characteristics. The names of Maria refer to sea features, sea attributes, or states of mind. Serpent Sea, Southern Sea, Sea of Knowledge, Sea of Crises, Sea of Fecundity, Sea of Cold, Sea of Alexander von Humboldt, Sea of Moisture, Sea of Showers. Sea of Cleverness, Sea of Islands, Sea of the Edge, Sea of Muscovy, Sea of Nectar, Sea of Clouds, Eastern Sea, Sea of Serenity, Smith's Sea, Foaming Sea, Sea of Tranquility, Sea of Waves, Sea of Vapors, Ocean of Storms, Lake of Summer, Lake of Autumn, Lake of Goodness, Lake of Sorrow, Lake of Excellence, Lake of Happiness, Lake of Joy, Lake of Winter, Lake of Softness, Lake of Luxury, Lake of Death, Lake of Forgetfulness, Lake of Hatred, Lake of Perseverance, Lake of Solitude, Lake of Dreams, Lake of Hope, Lake of Time, Lake of Fear, Lake of Spring. Marsh of Epidemics, Marsh of Decay, Marsh of Sleep, Seething Bay, Bay of Love, Bay of Roughness, Bay of Harmony, Bay of Trust, Bay of Honor, Bay of Rainbows, Lunic Bay, Bay of the Center, Bay of Dew, Bay of Success. Definition of sea, a great body of salt water that covers much of the earth. Broadly, the waters of the earth as distinguished from the land and air. B, a body of salt water of second rank, more or less, landlocked, the Mediterranean Sea. C, ocean. D, an inland body of water used especially for names of such bodies, the Caspian Sea. Definition of ocean, A, the whole body of salt water that covers nearly three-fourths of the surface of the earth. B, any of the large bodies of water, such as the Atlantic Ocean, into which the Great Ocean is divided. Definition of bay. 1, an inlet of the sea or other body of water, usually smaller than a gulf. 2, a small body of water set off from the main body. Definition of marsh, a tract of soft, wet land, usually characterized by mono, whatever that word is, such as grasses or cattails. If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and we call it a duck, most likely it's a
duck! Exactly. So, logically, if she weighs the same as a duck, she's made of wood.
And therefore...
A witch! A witch! A witch! A witch! A witch! A
witch! So, logically, if everything's named after something that's made out of water, then most likely it's because it is made out of water. Frozen water. Those seas that were liquid at one point are now frozen. Desert, prairie, plains, savanna, steppe. If areas of land are devoid of water, whether or not there was water there in the past or not, down here on Earth, we do not call them seas, oceans, bays, etc. We have other names, and that's what we use down here, but not on the moon.
Part 26E, The Expansion of the Moon on the Flat Earth.
Remember, everything is life. And with life, everything grows. Everything.
So here again, we see the confinement dome, the flip ring, and the choke ring. Particles of matter are drawn down into the magnetic ball and down to the flip ring. The particles of matter flip magnetic orientation at the flip ring and then become trapped under the confinement dome. As the matter continues to accumulate under the confinement dome, it causes the confinement dome to swell in size. In other words, the bubble is continually growing. There are times when the internal pressure of the bubble is too great and the magnetic bubble will fail at its weakest point. the choke ring may also allow some matter to escape out of the bottom of the bowl.
Okay, for all the thinkers out there, you might say, well, Brian, if the moon is a dome and you say it is expanding, then how come it isn't getting bigger in the sky? And then I'll say, well, that is a great question. And you'll be like, I got Brian on this one. His model is wrong, and it ain't 100% correct. Then I'll say, because of the ice dome, it doesn't expand during the blue or red sky. It only expands during the changeover event due to the ice dome collapsing when the electromagnetic field reverses. King James Bible, Job 38:29. Out of whose womb came the ice, and the hoary frost of heaven, who hath gendered it? Whose womb? Mary's womb. I'll get to that later. King James Bible, Psalm 147:17. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? King James Bible, Revelation 16:21. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. So you might be asking yourself a question right now. Why is he talking about the ice dome on the moon and then pulling things up, which are pretty obvious that those falling ice during the changeover is from our dome down onto us? And I'll say, because you have to understand where the fixed and immovable moon is. It's just like the Earth. It does not rotate, it does not spin, and it is fixed. Just like all solid matter, it does not move. So why would they refer to it as, for whose womb does the ice come from? It's because in pregnancy, before a child is born, the water will break. And everybody that's ever seen a woman give birth knows about the water breaking. So as they looked up into the sky, and the mother goddess, doesn't matter what you want to call her, Ishtar, Mary, doesn't matter, the mother goddess's water would break. And from that water came the plasma. And now, finally, the answer of what the Mara craters really are. They are the collapsed ice dome structure that happened at the top of the ice dome. These are collapsed ice domes that collapsed during the changeover and during the expansion. And then as it expanded in the changeover, because the expansion can only happen in the changeover because there's a physical barrier that's holding the pressure in that David LaPont doesn't understand. He only looks at it from the electromagnetic side, but this is a physical side. The ice dome keeps the expansion from happening during the red sky or the blue sky. The expansion can only happen when that physical barrier has been breached, has been opened up, and that's during the changeover. So what happens is these open up, and then water refills when it reforms and takes its natural process when it goes into the next sky. And then that water will freeze. And then there's a little bit of plasma discharge left over. That's why you'll see a little bit, just a few of the smaller craters that are formed from the plasma discharge on that frozen lake or whatever you want to call it. But that's just frozen water. That's why you see more of those electromagnetic discharge craters around that because that's older ice and with some debris in there. Okay, on to something else here. Every once in a while, I get absolutely fantastic questions from an email or comment section about, usually it's about something that I didn't describe very well. And here's case in point, Jason R. Hey there, Brian, how's it going? My name is Jason. I stumbled upon your work about 2 weeks ago, and I've been catching up on Mia's work also. I've learned a lot. I have believed in a flat earth for about 2 years now. Anyway, on your latest video, I guess my question is, are those seasoned lakes that have froze on top of the moon dome? And here's my response. Good. Hi, Jason. Welcome. Good to hear. Congrats on getting away from the BS heliocentric model. Yes, frozen, along with everything at the bottom of their bowl, furthest away from their FP focal point. Pretty much always frozen, except during changeover events. Haven't got to that yet in the series. This is Jason. Or they have always been frozen and were named sea and ocean because they were frozen bodies of water. Or are you inferring that they were at one time not frozen, but they were the waters above the moon dome structure and then froze? And this is my response. Watch part 16 on how the atmosphere is created by heat from focal point, then waters around that, and then the ice at the furthest points away from the focal point, closest to the electromagnetic dome. Now, I suggest everybody watch part 16 again so you understand that structure, because it's exactly the same structure in how the gas, water, and ice is formed on Earth and on the moon. This is Jason again. Didn't you say the moon is another structure, that there is four total? I guess one of the more difficult parts of this theory is having to go back into believing water can curve. I just spent the last 2 years realizing that water doesn't curve and trying to teach that to anybody that will listen. And this is from me. Yes, moon is another structure, but not part of the Vajra that has four domes. That is separate. Water can curve at the bottom of a bowl or glass. Water will always take the form of the container it is in. And that's a key thing that you have to understand in this, is that it's not on the outside, it's on the inside of the container. Then back to my reply. The electromagnetic bowl structure is the container for the water. You are looking at the glass through its transparent bottom, but the water is frozen there after Hell Week is over and the electromagnetic field is up and running again. Then the focal point takes form. The electromagnetic field repels water regardless of charge, hence water taking the bowl structure inside of the EM field. And then to his last point about people not listening, they'll still listen if you have the correct model and context. Me. This is Jason again. Sorry, I think I'm starting to ramble. I guess I have more questions than what I thought. Also, I think I need to watch some of the videos again and rewatch the primer fields. Thanks. And then my reply. No need to apologize. This is new to you. Good idea. Thanks, Brian. Okay. Here is the structure. Now, I have not gone into this structure in detail in a video, and that's on purpose. I want people to look at this and I want them to think for themselves. Okay? And it can get confusing and it can get very frustrating at times, but here is the structure. Okay? Now, I'm not going to say exactly where everything's at yet, because I'm going to do that in the next video. All right? But here is the structure. That's the structure. Look at it, memorize it, understand it, and then you'll see when I tell you where everything is in the next video. Part 26F. So where the fuck is the moon on the flat Earth. Congratulations to anybody that's figured it out to this point. I don't know if there has been or not. I haven't received any confirmation that anybody got it right, but I think a couple people were close. I've been showing these pictures throughout because it's super important why the architecture was built the way it was, the art was painted the way it was, because they saw where the moon was. In the red sky. So, where is this fixed, immovable object? This dome. Where is it? Where is this Mother Goddess Mary? And where does she reside? Drum roll, please. At the North Pole. But not at the North Pole down here on our plane. It's at the top of the North Pole, at the very top center of our dome. Right about now, I can hear the naysayers screaming at their computer screen right now. This guy is a jackass. This guy is a moron. He doesn't know what he's talking about. We can clearly see where the moon is because it's moving every night. And I'll say to them, it's because you don't understand light and optics. And then there's a whole nother group of people screaming at me saying, Brian, you're a jackass. You're a moron. You have no idea what you're talking about. You clearly said in another video that the plasma is at the top center of our dome. And I'll say, yes, I did. Both things are true. Because the direction of light in the red sky, you can see our dome. And you can see the circle structure at the very center, top center of our dome. That's why all dome structures in the Vatican, the U.S. Capitol building, and all the other places have that circled there. It's because it's what they saw in the sky. So remember the structure of the dome. Our dome and the moon's dome. Now invert it and you can see. Now the red bowl becomes our dome, and that smaller dome is the moon. There's more to it than that, but it's the moon. Now you can see the dome as we're looking up towards it and seeing the other dome in the top circle. That dome above us is the moon. Okay, now for some homework. We're going to get deep into this structure, and I'm going to explain in the next video, it'll probably take a couple videos, how this entire structure works. So you can understand our dome and the dome that's at the top center of our dome and all the other things that go along with it. And we're going to start at the very base level, which is the flip ring to the choke ring. And then we're going to go up from there. Now, be prepared. This gets a little messy, complicated, because you're dealing with Matryoshka dolls. These domes form within each other and outside of each other. And there's multiple variations that they can take, multiple configurations, and it can get a little mind-blowing. So stick with me. I'm going to explain every part of this, and then you'll be able to have answers for everything, from volcanoes to the tides to everything. Okay, I wanted to get into all that stuff. I'm at the point where I think we can start getting into the weeds on this structure and where David had it right and what he was missing. There's, like I said, in the very early part of the series, there was a lot of stuff that he has absolutely right, but there was some very key things he was missing outside of the whole that he's in the heliocentric model. Just key points of how these form, how they take shape, how they work, all that good stuff. So we're going to go there. You guys can read this. This is what the next video is going to be about. And it's going to be in the context of the moon, obviously, because you have to understand the moon and the Earth structure because they're exactly the same. It's just a size difference. They're exactly the same. And we'll get into all that. So if you guys want to read this, get caught up so you have a little head start going into the next video. I'm not sure, you know, I'm trying to get these done, you know, every day or every other day. But we'll see, because this stuff's taken me a lot of time getting in there and making these diagrams, because I've never done this before. I've never, you know, written it down. So it takes me a while to make sure I have everything correct, you know, because heaven forbid, wouldn't want to have any tiny little screw up, because guess what? Then it's not 100%. All right, guys, that's going to be it for this video. And then I will get to you guys on the next one. And remember, plasma is not our only enemy.
I want to know how you're dealing with all these conspiracy theorists on your platform.
So the first way is by demoting low-quality content and promoting more authoritative content. And the second is by providing more transparency for users. So we're introducing boxes that provide factual information at the top of results that have shown themselves to turn up a lot of information that is counterfactual, such as searching for the Earth is flat on YouTube, where you see a lot of...
Your response is to put a box saying, nope, the Earth is not flat.
Correct.
Okay.
And this is what she means by authoritative content from the authorities.
Next part will be made public soon.